If you have your Bibles, open them up to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Today I'm going to be talking about spiritual warfare. And it just so happens it's the week of Halloween. But listen, Marianne and I have this thing. When we talk about something or we see something, you know, that's just kind of weird or someone doing something, we look at each other and I say, not, man, what would Jesus do? You know what I'm starting to say? What would the Apostle Paul do with that? Would he celebrate Halloween? You know what I'm saying? I mean, I know the culture has made it into this real cutesy little thing, but the roots of it are evil. It's occultish. I mean, it's demonic. Kids get kidnapped. They get sacrificed. This is serious stuff. So this little thing is, would the Apostle Paul celebrate that at his local church? Come on, right? Oh, it's getting mighty quiet in here. Let's get right into this right now. Look at this. Ephesians 6, verse 12, and it says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places." So today, I want to talk about 10 different verses in the Word of God that will help you to become victorious, to become equipped with spiritual warfare. These 10 verses that I want to talk about today, these are spiritual ammunition for the battle. So the title of my message today is this: Spiritual Warfare and the Word. Spiritual Warfare and the Word. And you'll see what I'm going to be talking about here in a moment and why that fits. The prophetic words were powerful today. It's exactly, I mean, I'm going down that road, so Holy Ghost is moving here. Amen? How many of y'all know that the enemy, Satan, demonic spirits, evil spirits, the entire kingdom of darkness, they hate the entire Word of God, don't they? From Genesis to Revelation. But I'm here to tell you something, that there are certain and specific passages or verses that directly address them and our authority over them as Christians, and they hate it. This is what I want to try to arm you guys with today. Over the past 26 years of ministry and ministering deliverance and inner healing, when I have been ministering deliverance, I have used these 10 scriptures many times. Not all the time, but many times. And what happened was when I would bring these scriptures up, it would literally cause demonic spirits to manifest in people with anger, rage, because these things hit a spiritual nerve in demons. How many of you know demons like to hide? Why do they like to hide? So they can continue on kill, steal, and destroying the people. Amen? Not just children of God. Of course, they're messing with, you know, unbelievers, but really they want to get to us, right? Because we're the ones advancing the kingdom of God. We're the ones that God has called as ambassadors of Jesus. So the enemy wants to hold us back. But these 10 scriptures, when I mention them, I mean, the demons go nuts. They go nuts. But so listen to this, and we heard this today in one of the prophetic words. You will never be able to win a battle against the forces of darkness with weapons in the natural realm. This is a spiritual battle we're in, and it's by spiritual means that it can only be won. Amen? It can only be won by spiritual means. And when I say spiritual means, here's what I'm talking about. Are you ready? Your warfare has to be rooted in the Word of God. Hence, spiritual warfare and the Word. It's got to be rooted in the Word. If it's not rooted in the Word, it's rooted in your flesh, and the enemy's just going to laugh at you, and the enemy's not going anywhere. Your warfare has to be rooted in the Word of God. Amen? Amen. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verses 3 through 5, let me just remind you. of what this says. Let's face it, a lot of times when we're going back and reading the word, we're bringing it back to our remembrance. That's what we're, oh, pastor, I heard that a million times. Yeah, guess what? You're going to hear it a million more if you come to this church, because we need to be reminded of it constantly. We are in a spiritual battle, and it needs to be won only by spiritual means. 2 Corinthians 10, 3. Through 5, for though we walk in the flesh, yeah, we have a physical body, we have an earth suit that makes us legal on this earth, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought. So in this spiritual battle, it begins with thoughts. The enemy's coming against your thoughts. That's how he's trying to come against you. So how do you got to come against the enemy? With your thoughts that are rooted in what? The word of God. Amen? Thoughts into the captivity of the obedience of Christ. Now, have you ever known of a person who is an unbeliever or an ignorant baby Christian or just an ignorant? You know what I mean by ignorant? A Christian that lacks knowledge, okay? Lacks knowledge of the word of God. That's what I mean by ignorant. And they knew they were being attacked by evil spirits. They knew something was going on that wasn't good. And then they start to put up crucifixes and gargoyles in their front of their house. They're trying to do all these natural things to scare away the evil spirits. Has anybody ever known anything? I mean, how flesh? That's just flesh. And the demons aren't going anywhere. Or one thing is, I heard people talking about a lot, they bury an object. They're trying to sell their house. They bury an object in the yard, and they think it's going to sell. Well, that's not the power of God doing it. Amen? Listen, the enemy can give you a boost, too, in the natural realm. Did you just hear what I said? That's why we need to be discerning on these things, and it needs to be rooted in the word. All of that stuff is ineffective. It's carnal nonsense when we're coming against our spiritual enemies. In fact, doing some of those things will invite demons into your house, demons into your family, and demons into your life personally, all right? How about people who, you know, unbelievers, they know they're filled with demons. Something ain't right. Isn't it crazy how unbelievers can believe in demons, but they don't believe in God? Yeah. Interesting, isn't it? Unbelievers, they know they have demons, but then they go to a psychic. They go to witch doctors. They go to a occultist, someone like that, for an exorcism. It's ridiculous. You're not getting rid of anything. In fact, you're filling the boat even more. Come on, somebody. You cannot fight witchcraft with witchcraft. You cannot fight against the occult with the occult. Jesus said it this way. He said, Satan cannot cast out Satan. Right. Only Jesus has that power. Amen. And he's given us that power. I just seen angelic movement right over there, right above the heads over there. Wow. Hallelujah. So we know, listen, I know the Holy Ghost is pleased with this message. Come on. We are in a spiritual battle on this earth. There must be a greater force. There must be a greater power to overcome the strong man, to destroy a spiritual stronghold. All right? The only greater power to defeat the power of the devil is the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, and the word of God. That's your threefold cord that will choke the devil right out. Did you just hear what I said? That's the threefold cord that will hang and choke the devil right out. The name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, and the word of God. Go with me to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. Ooh, praise and worship. You guys really got into praise and worship. I can feel you guys made it easy to preach today. It feels good. It's a good atmosphere in here. I love it. Amen. Ephesians 1, 15 through 23. Look at this. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding. What's the eyes of our understanding? Our spiritual eyes, the eyes of our heart. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. In other words, you get the Holy Spirit giving you revelation. We need to get the revelation of this stuff. That you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. Underline that. Toward us what? Who believe. According to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things, say all things,
all things,
not some things, all things, under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. Oh, even if you're a foot in the body of Christ, you're still above the enemy. Did you just hear me? Even if you're a foot, you're still above the enemy. Which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. I love what it says in this passage. It says, the exceeding of his power toward us. It doesn't end there. Toward us who believe. The power of God is manifested, only manifested against the enemy, by our faith in the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, and the word of God. In other words, if there's no faith in those three things, the enemy isn't going anywhere. If you know what really makes you a threat and makes the enemy tremble and afraid? Faith in those three things. You can speak it all day long, but if you're speaking it in unbelief, the enemy's not going anywhere. You're ineffective. Our faith must be active for the power of God to be released and effective. Again, you can speak the name of Jesus, talk about the blood of Jesus and the word of God, but unless you believe it in your heart, without doubting, the enemy will not be moved, all right? So that means then, if that's the case, listen to this. Isn't this interesting? If that's the case, that means God and the enemy knows when you and I are speaking in faith or unbelief or fear and doubt. Did you just hear what I said? The enemy knows. When those words are released, the enemy knows whether to obey or not based on your faith in that. The enemy, listen to me, the enemy can discern faith, fear, doubt, and unbelief. Oh, my goodness. I don't know about you, but when I really meditate on that fact, it makes me want to really press in and believe even more, right? The enemy is the one that's promoting doubt. The enemy is the one that's promoting unbelief. The enemy is the one that's promoting fear and anxiety. We must maintain and confront the enemy with a bold mindset, ready? Of confidence and faith, not fear. I remember back when I first got born again and I was getting into the whole deliverance thing and spiritual warfare, reading all the books about it. I remember that I was at a church and there was a group of us and someone that we suspected had a demon started to manifest in this room. And I'm like, well, you know, your eyes get big as saucers. Like, well, because it really makes the word of God come to life when you see the enemy getting angry and trembling at the name of Jesus and the word of God. And I'll never forget, there was this lady who was sitting in there, and all of a sudden you could just see fear rising up in her. And what she did, all of a sudden she runs out of the room. And I'm like, where's she going? We got a devil that's manifesting through this woman. She's running out of the room. Bad time for coffee, lady. Well, here come to find out what she did. She said she ran out of the room, hid behind the door, and she was rebuking the enemy behind the door. You tell me, is that boldness and confidence Or is that fear and unbelief and doubt? We got to be bold. There is nothing to fear against the enemy. We need to stand in there. You need to confront the enemy. Come on, somebody. I'm tired of seeing what the enemy's doing to people. Stand in there. Be confident. Here's the deal. She was relying on her own strength. And that will always manifest fear, doubt. Why? Because it's flesh. But when you go in with the mindset of what Jesus did, you truly get a revelation of that you are the head and not the tail, that you are a part of the body of Christ, and you are above, and the enemy's below your feet. That's when you can stand up and you can get in the face of that spirit and tell it to come out in the name of Jesus right now. Yeah. Amen? Amen? Now, so we must maintain and confront the enemy with a bold mindset of confidence, okay, and faith, not fear. That faith will get generated and built up as you hear the word of God, as you get to know the word of God, as you, come on, here is where you got to go here. Study the word of God. Remember, in a sermon a couple weeks back, I talked about, in Acts, it talks about the Christians in Berea were more what? Fair-minded. It means they didn't just take something at face value that someone said. No, they were searching truth, it said, on a daily basis. They were filling themselves with truth, and that's what we need to do. Amen? Amen? We must declare and speak the word of God with boldness and expectation, knowing that the word of God, the power of God, is going to be released against the kingdom of darkness the very moment we verbally speak it. Say, verbally speak it. Now, as I go through, I'm laid a foundation here, but keep in mind, these 10 verses that I'm going to be talking about, and the Word of God in general, here's what I wanted to get across. It must be believed. It must be believed, and it must be verbally spoken, and the Word of God must be acted upon to be effective in your life against the kingdom of darkness. All right, so here we go. The first, these are in no particular order of how much the enemy hates these. He hates them all. Number one, the first one that I want to talk about that I've mentioned that they go nuts. Luke 10:19, they absolutely can't stand this. It exposes them. It exposes that they are wimps in the spirit. Luke 10:19. It says this, Jesus said, "Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all of the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Now, I want you to notice something in this verse. Our authority is greater than the power of the enemy. Did you catch that? Our authority as Christians is greater than the power or ability of the enemy. I love that. You just soak, you might hear it and you're like, I don't really understand. Just go ahead, chew on it. Chew on it in your spirit. Chew on it. Meditate on it. Satan and demonic spirits hate this verse because it specifically talks about our authority over them. And not only that, but it guarantees our protection as a Christian when we are on, come on, the offensive against the enemy. I can't stand when a Christian is only on the defense. They're always just on the defense. No, Jesus said, I give you authority, come on, in James Brandt terms, to go after the enemy. Amen. How are we going to gain ground for the kingdom of God in only a defensive stand? You only, come on, football, right? Right? You're only going to gain ground when you're on the offensive. You, guess what, church? We have the ball. Right. We have the ball. Why are we just standing there doing nothing? Run. Amen. Run. Remember that person in gym class who really didn't know much about football or anything? You hand the ball off to them and they're just kind of standing there. And everyone's saying, run, run. This is what the Holy Ghost is telling us. You got the ball. Run with it. Amen. You got the authority. You got the power of the Holy Ghost. Now run with it. Gain ground. The key is this. We need to gain ground for the kingdom of God. Right. Not just maintain ground. Not just this, we're not just maintaining. No, we're gaining ground. We're pushing them back. That's what's expected. Paul posted something I seen on Facebook, and he said, hey, with President Trump in office, he's basically given ministers and Christians a ticket to run with. And here we're sitting back, and we're not just, I mean, Christians in general, and we're just taking it for granted. When he's saying, President Trump's like, all right, pastors, you're free to talk about politics from the pulpit without the fear of retribution or getting your tax-exempt status. Who cares about the tax-exempt status? We're going to do it anyways. But my point is, he's taking all these things away that the Democrats put in place. Shame on us if we don't take advantage of this. Shame on us if we don't take advantage of it. We have a window. Say window. We have a window of opportunity to ram things down the devil's throat. So we as the body of Christ are expected by God to push back the forces of darkness and establish the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the rulership of God. Amen? And guess what? That's only going to happen through ambassadors or representatives of Jesus, us. We as Christians are meant to rule and dominate over the influence and power of the kingdom of darkness on this earth. If the enemy's triumphing, if they're getting victories, it's not God's fault, it's our fault. Because we're being silent, we're being inactive, we're being spiritual wimps. When we walk in faith and confront the enemy, there is nothing they can do that will harm us. That's what Jesus said. I don't know, I'm going to take Jesus at face value. Everything else he said in his words, right? He's not going to start lying in Luke 10:19. If you believe and maintain a mindset of faith in that promise, that is exactly what's going to happen. What he said, you got to believe it. You've got to believe it. It's got to be mixed with faith. When we as Christians cower and shrink back with fear and fail to boldly confront the forces of darkness, then guess what happens? People think, well, I'm just going to stay out of the battle. I'm just going to stay out of the warfare. No, all you're doing is making yourself an easy target for the enemy. You understand that? People think, well, I'm not going to do that because it's going to stir the enemy up and make you mad. He's mad with you doing nothing. He's mad with just because who you are and that you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. In fact, the enemy hates unbelievers. Why? Because they're part of God's creation. The enemy hates God's creation. So I want you right now, get out of your mind that you just want to live a coast. Oh, I don't want to do that because it's going to get the enemy mad. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. He's ticked off at you with you doing nothing. So guess what? You might as well do something. You might as well make yourself useful for the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. You might as well start collecting heavenly rewards on earth. Did you just hear what I said? Yeah. Hallelujah. So don't give the enemy that opportunity. Keep them on the run. Number two, the second one. Some of these you might be thinking, wow, they don't like this one. This is one. Okay, here we go. The second verse is this, Romans 8:1. They absolutely hate. This has made demonic spirits scream when I would mention this one. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk or live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Satan and demon spirits hate this verse because it liberates God's people from self-condemnation and guilt from their past. What's the one thing that the enemy, how does the enemy hold someone in bondage? Oh, I just feel so bad what I did in my past. Yeah, so do I. Get over it. Amen. I know, you know, there's people, Marianne and I will be discussing this, like, wow, people really hold on to things from their past so much, and there's that self-condemnation. It's like, you know, You got to understand, it's a new chapter. It's a new season. The moment you confessed it, put it under the blood and repented, it's a new day, baby. Amen. And this is exactly what the enemy doesn't want you to understand. Okay? Yeah, we've all done. You listen, if the Apostle Paul went by this, the Apostle Paul would have never been used by God to write most of the New Testament. He would have said, listen, if anybody could sat that one out, the Apostle Paul killing Christians. And now he's saying, hey, you know, now I'm the head of what's going on here on this earth. But Paul understood, ready? Paul had a revelation and he understood the grace of God. Yeah, he didn't earn it. That's why the Word of God says this, be strong in the grace of God. The grace means you didn't do a thing to earn it, but he's given it to you. Ready? So use it. Get out of your mind. Get it out. Get it out. Get that thing out, okay? Intimidation by false guilt is one of the devil's most frequent tactics against a Christian. Working in the ministry of deliverance and emotional healing, I can tell you, again, this is one of the strongest bondages and strongholds of the enemy. People get caught up in this regret. It's horrible. It's demonic. They just don't want to break free. Whether something they did or something that happened to them, you got to break free from it. You got to be strong and operate in this grace of God. All right? For one reason or another, the enemy got into these individuals' thought process because that's what it is. It's a thought problem, right? It's a stronghold in the thought life. They have what the enemy really has done with those individuals, it has deceived them into thinking that the blood of Jesus is not strong enough or sufficient enough to wash away their sin and the past. That's the deception. The only way the enemy can operate in your life is through deception. There is no truth. He's the father of lies. Amen? All right, so these people think that they need to be punished for the rest of their life, okay? And they no longer qualify for the grace, favor, and forgiveness in their life. Listen to this. Condemnation says this. There is no hope. You're doomed to misery and hell, okay? That's from the enemy, all right? Conviction from the Holy Spirit it will always point you back to Jesus. It will always point you back to Jesus' cleansing blood, to his love, and to his grace. And a way out of it. A way out of it, all right? So you got to discern that. You got to break yourself free from this, okay? All right, number three. The next one that the enemy hates is Philippians 2, 9 through 10. Philippians 2, 9 through 10. And it says, therefore, God has highly exalted him, Jesus, and given him the name which is above every name. Listen, if that one song we sang where it repeats Jesus about 120 times, if that doesn't get you to focus on Jesus, there's a problem, Houston. Amen. Jesus. I mean, if you're still thinking about lunch with that song, there's a problem, okay? We need to cast that demon of gluttony out of you, okay? Therefore, God has highly exalted him, Jesus, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth. Here's what you got to understand. When you're ministering, you're not doing it in your own name. Listen, or you shouldn't be. You're going out in the name of Jesus. You're under his anointing, the Holy Spirit's power. When you make that shift that it's not reliant on your ability, but the ability of the Holy Spirit, that's when you're going to start to see miracles start to pop. Yeah. Amen? Satan and demonic spirits, they hate this scripture because it explains how effectively Christians can enforce the authority invested in the name of Jesus. This passage establishes the supremacy of the name of Jesus. Listen, not just on earth, but in every realm. Say every realm. Every realm. Okay, so the key to victory is Jesus. Say Jesus. We as Christians really need to take hold of this truth. It's not an option for Satan and demonic spirits to obey when the name of Jesus is spoken in faith. It is a requirement, and they know it. Did you just hear what I said? It's a requirement. When the name of Jesus is spoken in faith, when the word of God, because Jesus is the word, John 1:1, when it's spoken in faith, they know they must obey. You need to know. You need to believe, know, and expect that when you verbally speak the name of Jesus and the word of God, something powerful is taking place in the spirit realm. The name of Jesus must be spoken out loud to be effective against the enemy. Our authority in the spirit realm. Listen to this. Ready? Don't miss this. Say, I'm listening.
I'm listening.
Our authority in the spirit realm is voice activated. Our authority in the spirit realm is voice activated. Faith is not silent. Silent faith is ineffective against spiritual warfare. Okay? So you gotta say something. Come on. Number four, the next verse. 1 John 3:8. The enemy hates this one. He who sins, that literally means or makes a lifestyle of sinning, is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God, Jesus, was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Satan and demons hate this verse because it proclaims the eternal victory of Jesus Christ over Satan, over the kingdom of darkness. Through the life, the death, the burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ, Satan's power over Christians has been shattered. It's been destroyed. Now, you know what that means? When something is shattered, when something is destroyed, it can't be put back together.
Right.
Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Stop trying to put it together for the enemy to come against you. Did you just hear that? Though at times, listen to me now. Though at times the devil's schemes may seem effective, by faith we can claim ultimate victory over the enemy if we maintain our faith. If we maintain our faith. This verse is dealing with the topics of legal rights. Say legal rights.
Legal rights.
The enemy, even God, is a legalist. There's spiritual laws that operate in this universe. You understand what I'm saying? The Bible talks about a lot of the spiritual laws here. Sin, and specifically unconfessed sin, is a legal right or an open door for the enemy to gain entrance into your life. That's why it says in 1 John 3:8, he who sins, not if you make a mistake. No, it's saying if you make a lifestyle out of sinning. All right? Legally speaking, though, Jesus stripped the devil of every legal right that he would ever claim over mankind. But experientially, to get the benefit, you need to put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So when someone gets born again, all the sin they ever committed in the past, all the bad things, it doesn't matter what it was, it's washed away. But then there's another verse in 1 John. It says, now after you're a Christian, if you sin, say if.
Yeah.
Well, I can't live a sinless life. Well, it says if you sin. In other words, you should be sinning so little that you should be aware and know when you messed up.
Right.
If you lost track of that, now you've probably fallen in the 1 John 3:8 where you're making a lifestyle. It just became a normal habit for you. But it says if you sin, basically confess it and forsake it and move on with your life. Amen. So there's a way even to get out of it after that. So we must, well, the word of God says we must work out our salvation. It says with fear and trembling. In other words, with reverence toward God, reverence toward his word, reverence toward his commands and what he tells us to do, right? Don't make a lifestyle by consistently sinning. That a Christian should not be doing that. That's not normal for a Christian. I know we start to think, oh, well, it's just normal, right? Why? Why do people say that? Because they're getting caught up in the spirit of the world. They're getting caught up in the flow of the world. So now everyone says, oh, it's just normal to do this now. Oh, it's normal. You're going to do it. No. That's where you got to change your mindset. It's normal to you because you think it's normal. But really what's normal is having reverence toward God and His Word. I'm not saying, okay, you're probably going to mess up. I hope you don't, but you probably will. But there's an advocate with the Father, and that's Jesus Christ, where you can cleanse that sin. But we got to start getting a mindset that you, once you're born again, you're not a sinner. You're a saint. Listen, that word saint wasn't created by Catholics. Some of you don't know that. Come on, somebody, right? Oh, this is good stuff. So we must live in obedience. We need to live in obedience. Not that we're trying to earn anything. Get that out of your mind. We can't earn anything. The only reason we're able to confess our sin, the only reason we're able to walk in holiness is because of what Jesus did and the Holy Spirit living in us, right? That's the only reason we can do any good. Amen? So we can't claim that we earned this thing. You can't. But we need to walk in obedience to the Word. Amen? So Jesus has effectively paid for the sin of all mankind. Did He not? It says that He died for the sins of the whole world. However, we must tap into that forgiveness by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So in other words, here's what Jesus did for us all, for every person on the face of this earth. He made the provision. You need to tap into it, though, by faith. Jesus made the provision by giving us authority and the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus gave us that provision, but your faith is what activates it. Did you hear what I just said? It's your faith, your belief, your conviction, your boldness, your confidence in this Word, your confidence in Almighty God, your confidence in the Holy Spirit that lives right here. That's what releases the power of God. Amen? Amen? Not just by mindlessly repeating a Bible verse. It's worthless to you unless you're doing it in faith. Amen? The next one, number five. Hallelujah. James 4:7. They don't like this one either. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Satan and demons hate this verse because they know if a Christian continues to resist them by obeying the Word of God, by trusting God, by having the fear of the Lord, reverencing God, there will be no place, there will be no legal right given to the enemy. Amen? Now listen to this. Here's what you got to understand. A lot of people read that, resist the devil. They think it just means a one-time speaking a Bible verse and it's done and over. But listen to this. The meaning of the verb resist, yes, I said verb. Does anybody need to know what a verb is? It's been a while since school, right? It's an action word. Listen to this. The meaning of the verb resist implies a continual resistance, not just a one-time action or declaration. It's a continual resistance. That's why at times it feels like you're losing a battle. No, you need to continually resist, and eventually the enemy has to flee and let go. All right? We must continue to enforce the Word of God, to enforce the authority in the name of Jesus, even when, come on, initially, at first, it appears that the enemy may not obey the command. Trust me, in 26 years of dealing with these losers, the demons, trust me, they will try to hang on. They'll try something. You got to just keep on. Keep on giving the command. No, you're going to go. They're going to fight you on it. Trust me. After a while, you're like, okay, well, we're going to walk. No. You keep in, and it's going to break. Many times in deliverance, the biggest thing is this. is trying to get the person you're ministering to their cooperation in the matter. Did you just hear what I just said? You're trying to get their cooperation in the matter, okay? But many Christians throw in the towel simply because they are discouraged by what they see in the natural realm instead of standing their ground in faith. Say, I got to stand my ground. Listen to this. Don't ever forget this. Persistent resistance to Satan and evil spirits brings about the eventual surrender of the enemy. Persistent resistance. Persistent resistance to the enemy. All right? And trust me, they will flee. I mean, Jesus had to, when the enemy tempted him in the wilderness, right? Jesus had to deal with the enemy three times on the matter. And that was Jesus, right? So, I mean, if Jesus had to deal with it three times, there's a chance we might have to deal with it more than one time. Okay? Because the enemy's going to try to take advantage of your doubt. He's going to try to take advantage of your unbelief. The enemy's going to try to push you and I to the limits where we just say, we give up. We give up. That's what the enemy's hoping you do, where you just say, I'm done. Don't give him that pleasure. Amen? Number six, Hebrews 4:12. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living or alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner. Oh, the enemy doesn't like that it's a discerner because he operates in lies. But the word of God said is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. This is why the enemy doesn't want you getting the word in your heart, because it will discern truth from error. And if you discern truth from error, you let go of error, you grab hold of truth, guess where the enemy has to go? See ya! And you start to blossom and just do amazing things for God in your life. How many of you want to do amazing things for God in your life? Get the word of God in your heart then, because it is a discerner. Many people are, I'm confused about this, I'm confused. Get more of the word in you. So you can discern whether it's your own soul, your own fleshly thinking, or if it's from the Lord. Amen? Satan and demons hate this scripture because their evil agenda is defeated when we quote and obey, study, get the word of God in our heart in spiritual warfare. It discerns, as I said, it discerns or separates flesh from spirit, good from evil, holy from unholy. Did you just hear what I said? Let me say it again. It discerns, the word of God discerns or separates flesh from spirit, good from evil, holy from unholy. Ready? Good from God. Something might be good, but it might not be God. Oh, come on, somebody. It exposes, here's what it does. When you get the word of God in your heart, it exposes the true motives of the heart. It exposes deception. It shines a flashlight on everything that's holding us back. And the enemy doesn't like that because he wants you held back. He wants me held back. There have been times, listen to this. There have been times in an exorcism when the Holy Spirit has led me to use the Bible as like a sword. What do I mean by that? The enemy's kind of, the demon's kind of just being, feisty and fighting, and I'm not going anywhere. Well, I would symbolically put the Bible against the back of the person, and when I do that, the demon in the person starts to scream, starts to writhe all over the place. Why? Because the enemy knows the word of God is a sword. What is it? The sword of the Spirit. Some of you are like, that sounds really weird. Yeah, I agree. Listen, if you're going to operate in spiritual warfare, things are going to be weird to you. That's weird in the flesh, but in the spirit, this thing is a sword, baby, and the enemy hates it. It's sharp, sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Mm-mm-mm. So James, it's interesting, James 2:19 does say, it says, you believe there is one God, you do well. It says, even the demons believe and tremble. even the demons. You know, it's sad when I every time I read that verse, this is the thought that comes to me. It's sad when demons, when Satan, when the entire kingdom of darkness has more of a reality of God or take God more serious than some Christians. And we're more concerned about dressing our kids up for Halloween and passing out candy. Are you following what I'm saying? We need to become more aware. We need to become more conscious of what belongs to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't let the enemy have the upper hand on that. We're children. Remember, let me bring it back to this. Are you ready? You and I, we are first and foremost spiritual beings. We're a spirit being. We possess a soul, mind, will, and emotions, and we live in a physical body. You are not a body. You're a spirit being that has a soul. See, now, if you only see yourself as a physical body, the enemy's going to kick your butt every time. Because you're only in this natural mindset realm. But again, the only way you're going to make headway and come against the enemy is by maintaining a spiritual mindset. Amen? Here we go. The seventh one. Almost done here. John 8:32. They don't like this one either. And it says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Listen to this. Don't ever forget this. Knowledge and understanding. Knowledge plus understanding of truth in the kingdom of God is power. Knowledge and understanding of truth in the kingdom of God is power. And the enemy doesn't want you to walk in that. He wants to keep that away from you. Amen? It gives us an advantage over the enemy. All right? Jesus referred to Satan, as I said, as the father of lies. However, Jesus referred to himself as what? The way, the truth, and the life. The enemy's strength, again, is rooted in deception when attacking a person. But when the truth of God's word is known and understood, oh, you got to get that. Not just known, when the word of God, when the truth of God's word is known and understood, that person is able to pull down strongholds of the enemy in their life very quickly. God said this. He said, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." So we need to know some things, right? Get wisdom, get understanding. What's the principal thing? Wisdom. What's wisdom? Knowing the truth and applying it to your life. Applying it by speaking it. Applying it by action. Amen? Applying the word of God. Here's my famous line. By what you think, say, come on, and do. You got it. Think, that covers your whole life. What you think, say, and do. All right. Number 8. Oh, the enemy does not like this one. John 16:13. "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Ghost, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell or show or reveal to you things to come." The one person that gives us an advantage over the enemy, who do you think it is? The Holy Spirit. My goodness. Satan and demonic spirits hate this verse because they know that a Christian that is in tune and led by the Holy Spirit will not be deceived, but rather that Christian will have the upper hand. The Christian will have the advantage in the spiritual, in, you could say it this way, in each spiritual battle. How many of you know our whole life is a spiritual battle? But how many of you know there's lots of little spiritual battles, right? And the Holy Spirit is our advantage, giving us wisdom and influencing us, empowering us to be victorious. Show me a Christian that's led by the Holy Spirit, and I will show you a Christian that is bold to confront the forces of evil, the forces of darkness, with confidence, with conviction, and with an effective, come on, here we go, an effective battle plan or strategy. We go into battle, we don't have any plan. We don't have any strategy. We need to have that. What came to me as I was looking over my notes at home before I came here this morning is that the Holy Spirit, you watch football, some of you, right? And so, you know, the offensive and defensive coordinators, a lot of them, they have coaches, each team, that sit way at the top of the stadium. They're sitting in a little booth, and they're watching the game from a bird's eye view. They're taking pictures of formations, they're trying to pick up weaknesses from the other team, and they pass it on to their defensive and offensive coach. You understand what I'm saying? The Holy Spirit is that coach sitting above the stadium. He's seeing what the enemy's doing, and he's saying, James, the enemy's coming from your 6 o'clock. He's working in this. Did you just hear what I said? Oh, thanks, Holy Ghost, because I had no idea, but the Holy Ghost does. The Holy Ghost has given us, he's letting us in on what the enemy's trying to do when we don't know it. The Holy Spirit, a relationship with the Holy Spirit is so vital. We need it, amen? Quit, and by the way, if anybody's here or listening, watching online around the world, stop fighting the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Now, when we get born again, the Holy Spirit comes on the inside. So, praise God, you have the ability to hear. But the Holy Spirit baptism, Jesus said you will receive power, ability, supernatural ability, right? To be a witness for Jesus. And how many of you know, I not only want that coach up on the stadium giving me insight and strategy, but I also need that supernatural power. And then we wonder why so many Christians are getting steamrolled. Because they're trying to operate without that supernatural power or ability. We need the Holy Spirit baptism. We need to get over our denominational prejudices and whatever it is. Come on, somebody. Amen? And realize that we're in a real battle here. So, by the way, listen to this. The Holy Spirit will sometimes, at times, position us in direct confrontations with the enemy. Okay, because victory is ours. If the Holy Spirit is trying to gain territory of something, who do you think he's going to pick? Is he going to pick the weakest link, or is he going to pick the one who has the faith, the confidence, and the boldness to stand up against the enemy? Right? All right? It's common sense. So many people are like, I want to be used by God. I want to be, well, you know what? You have faith. Believe God. Trust God. Be bold against the enemy. And then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit's going to give you an assignment where he's going to put you where many other Christians maybe failed. And he's going to say, okay, now I want this territory of this region or whatever. And here, I'm going to give you boldness. I'm going to give you an opportunity. I'm going to put you, James, in direct confrontation with these spirits that have been over this region. Or Diane, I'm going to put you over. I'm going to have you live here, and I want you to confront this region. Hey, I'm going to put you over here. I'm going to have you confront this. I'm going to hire you guys for the youth, and you're going to come and break the strongholds of the youth over Living Waters Chapel in this region. Are you seeing what I'm saying? The Holy Spirit, he knows the only way to get more ground is to put Christians that have faith, that are bold, that are radical. He will put you in direct confrontation with the enemy. Right? Bring it on. Let's do this. Let's rumble. Right? Come on. And the number 9, Isaiah 14:12. Ooh, the enemy hates to be reminded of this one. Isaiah 14:12. How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. This verse is an eternal reminder of the foolishness, of the stupidity, of the pride of the enemy, and their eternal defeat that they suffered when they rebelled against God in heaven. I want you to notice it says that Lucifer, now called Satan, it says he was cut to the ground. And then you compare that with the Luke 10:19 that I mentioned earlier, that we shall tread on serpents and scorpions. I love that. It's talking about we shall tread over the kingdom of darkness. Amen? Oh, I'm on the last page. Final approach. Here we go. Spiritually speaking, we sit with Christ in heavenly places. We are positioned above the enemy, and that's why we can tread all over them. You need to start getting a treading kind of a mindset. That the enemy is not equal with you. Oh, did you just hear what I said? I think many Christians go in life thinking that the enemy is either equal or greater than. No. They're under your feet. Positionally, they are under your feet. Experientially, it all depends on what you're doing up here with your thought life. Did you just hear what I'm saying? What are you thinking? They're down there. You're walking on them. But how they interact with you is dependent on your thought life. Do you think they're equal with you? Do you think they're higher than you? Guess what? If you think that, they're going to have a field day over you. All right, so this is a great verse to bring up to Satan and demonic spirits when they remind you of your past. You remind them of their future in the lake of fire. Amen? And then the last verse I want to bring up here is Ephesians 6:11. Ephesians 6:11. See, the enemy hates all of Scripture because it equips the Christian for victory. It's revealing our victorious status in the spirit realm. It equips us, and the enemy hates that. He wants us to be ignorant. He wants us to just get caught up in the spirit of the world, right? Ephesians 6:11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or deception of the devil. Satan and demon spirits hate this verse because they know the armor of God, when truly used and put on in your life, it cannot be penetrated. And every tactic of their warfare is useless against the armor of God. Now, let me define what wiles. Say wiles. This is another word that many people just read over. They don't know, have any clue, and they walk away as dumb about it as they did before they read it. Let me give you a little bit of a definition. Wiles is defined as this, as cunning, deceptive tactics and schemes, ready, to trick and lead people astray. The only way the enemy can lead you astray, is to trick us with deception. If you stay in truth, they can't trick you. The wiles are no good. Now, here, listen to this. This is interesting. The word cunning, say cunning. What does the word cunning mean? Listen to this. This is what the enemy does. It says a skill in achieving one's ends by deceit. So it's strategic deception. The enemy is strategic. He's not just throwing something out there hoping you'll take it. No, he's following all, every move. He knows your weaknesses. He knows the people that kind of get to you, right? Oh, he knows it all. That's what familiar spirits are. You ever hear the term familiar? There's demonic spirits that are familiar spirits, and they're watching everything you do. They're listening to everything you say, and so they know what makes you tick and what makes you talk. They do. So I just want you to know this word wiles is not, just deception. No, it's strategic deception. Strategic. You better believe the enemy's listening to everything you say. Listen to this. He even is paying attention to what you're thinking about. Oh, that freaks a lot of people out. But listen, I said this before, and I stand by this. Your thoughts are communication in the spirit realm. Chew on it. All right. Now, someone once brought that up and said, do you really think that you do that? That kind of freaks me out. I'm like, good. It probably should freak you out. I could go more into that, but oh well. We'll just chew on it, all right? Anyways, I want you to notice that if you don't have the whole armor of God on, you will not be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, against the cunningness, against the deceptive tactics or strategy, the schemes of the devil. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. which is what? The Word of God. And then Ephesians goes on to say, praying always with all kinds of prayer. It says all prayer, but really what that means is all kinds of prayer. There's more than one kind of prayer. Kenneth E. Hagin talks about that. I believe he picked out that there's 9 different kinds of prayer. And there's different rules for each different kind of prayer. In other words, the prayer of faith is a prayer of believing. It's something that God has provided, and you have faith to receive it. But a prayer of consecration is, if it be thy will. You can't use if it be thy will in a prayer of faith, because the prayer of faith, the only way you can have faith is because God already promised it to you. Are you following what I'm saying? So it says with a prayer with all kinds of prayer. All right. The if it be thy will is, Lord, I'm feeling a tug to go to Africa to be a missionary. Lord, if it's your will, open doors for that. Lord, if it's not your will, close doors. Are you following what I'm saying? That's the if it be thy will. Okay. So prayer is for your protection, and it is a spiritual weapon against the enemy. So church, this is what I want you to take away from this message today. I want you to know and understand that the only way for you to be victorious in spiritual warfare on this earth against the kingdom of darkness, all right, your knowledge, your understanding, and faith, all of those things, it must be rooted in the Word of God. That's all the enemy's looking for. If it's just you, if it's just your flesh, if it's out of fear, anxiety, the enemy just kind of laughs at it. The moment you speak the word in faith, the name of Jesus in faith, the enemy's like, we have a problem now. This guy, this lady, they really believe this now. We got to obey this thing. If you will stay rooted in the Word of God, you will never be defeated, and you will always be victorious. Let's stand up in this place. Hallelujah. Spiritual warfare and the Word. Prayer team, come on forward. Now, maybe there's someone in this place. Maybe there's someone in this place you've never made Jesus Lord of your life. Don't leave this building. Pastor, you do this every week. I know, because I don't want it on my sheet when I get to heaven that said you didn't ask, you do an altar call. Someone was saved, not saved, and they wanted to have that invitation right now. I don't want that. I don't want that on my hands. If you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, I want you to come forward right now and pray with one of our prayer members. Say, I need to make Jesus Lord of my life. Now, maybe this message really hit home to you. Maybe in your thought life, you made the devil equal. You even raised the enemy above you. And today you're like, wow, this really gave me a different perspective. I want to shift. I want to change. I've been backslidden. I'm coming back to you, Lord. Come forward, and I want you to pray with one of the prayer team members. Just say, this message really hit me hard today, and I want to change. If you want to receive the Holy Spirit baptism, come on down. They'll talk to you about it and about the benefits of that. If you need prayer for anything else, come on forward. The rest of you, thank you so much for coming. Remember, Extreme Warfare Healing and Deliverance Service on Saturday, 7 o'clock. Come on out. Have fun. And even if you don't need healing, you think you don't need deliverance. Usually it's those ones who end up manifesting, right? Listen. But you just want to learn how to minister to people more effectively in those two areas. Come on out. Have fun with us. Amen? All right. I love you all. Have a great week. We will see you on Wednesday. God bless you all. Love you all.